Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Vrense Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavin Nikijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Govinda Sayam Kund Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavan Kijai Maturam Kijai Navadeepdam Kijai Jagadasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Lassi Devi Kijai Namaveda Bhakta Vrindavan Kijai Gaur Prenananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, so Om Gana. You can put that away. Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So welcome to the seminar, part 3 of Stop Killing the Devotees. And as I mentioned before, just a brief review, we're doing this as a service to the Vaishnavas because we understand that the devotees have to keep themselves healthy in order to perform devotional service. Of course, we understand that in Krishna consciousness there's no material impediment, nor is there any material cause for pure devotional service. So it's not that I'm presenting a different philosophy that we need to keep the body running nicely. But for those who are in the conditioned stage of life, as I mentioned before, which is pretty much everyone, and forgive me if I'm committing offenses against a pure devotee here. Some of you might be pure devotees. So anyone in the conditioned stage of life, they actually need to keep or be aware of their physical needs, mental needs, emotional needs, as described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita. So, very important point. So we've been talking about the body, the mind, and the soul. And yesterday we talked briefly about the soul. The soul requires some direction or purpose. You can turn it down a little bit. It's a little And the mind requires that one be engaged according to their psychophysical nature in Krishna's service. Because if you're not, you're going to be frustrated, angry. How do you determine your psychophysical nature? You figure out what you can do for 10 hours a day without going crazy. You can do a lot of things. All of us can do, at least myself, I have a lot of different things I can do. Practically everything I can do except for paint. I'm not an artist. They asked me to write something this morning. Devotees couldn't read my handwriting. So, but I can do a lot of things. But what I can do for 8 to 10 hours a day is read about Krishna, take notes about Krishna, correspond with people, talk to people about Krishna, and serve the Vaishnavas, so that's who I am. Other people like to manage things. Ishwaroham, humbugi. They're Kshatriyas. A Kshatriya has this Ishwara Bhava. What's Ishwara Bhava? Bhava means an emotion. They really want to be in charge. And if they're not, they get frustrated. And that's common. There's nothing wrong with that. Like Krishna said to Arjuna, by your nature be forced to act anyway. And some people like to make money. They have money bhava. What is that? Lakshmi bhava. Who else? Krishi Gorakshi Banijam, Vaishya Karmas Vavavajam. They also like to take care of cows and do commerce. Like I was speaking to someone yesterday, they were describing how they went on a version of eBay. Everybody's heard of eBay before? Yeah. How they would buy something at a cheap price and sell at what? Higher price. So that's business. And you don't have to go to business school, Prabhupada said, to learn how to do that. The devotees asked Prabhupada, should we teach business in Varnashram College? And Prabhupada said, no, why should we teach people how to cheat? That's business. So, for you, there's no profit. And then some people just like working with their hands with things. And that's technology and everything like that. That's true. So there's nothing wrong with any of those four natures. We should be engaged according to that nature, and then we will be happy. So that's mental satisfaction. Also, there's other things like having surrounded by a loving society. Very, very important. Sometimes people say about the Krishna consciousness movement, unfortunately, they say, I have received much more love and affection from my Christian church, from the witches conference that I went to. Or I have one disciple who left Krishna consciousness because they joined the voodoo movement. She's a voodoo queen. She actually advertises on the internet that I owe everything to my guru, Veer Krishna Maharaj, for teaching me voodoo. And I never taught anyone voodoo, that's for sure. So many people leave ISKCON and don't come to ISKCON because they're looking for a loving society, which is, all of us need that. We need to care and be cared for. So these are different mental and emotional needs. And then finally the physical needs, which we're mostly going to be talking about today, are very important. I'm going to read one or two quotes from His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, concerning physical needs. Here's one. This is from the Veda Vyasa, this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. By keeping regular habits and eating simple food. There's the operative word. Simple food. Any man can maintain his health. That refers to ladies too. Overeating, oversense gratification, overdependence on another's mercy. Wow. That's a big one, isn't it? Overdependence on another's mercy. If you become too much dependent on someone who's not a pure devotee, you will be disappointed. And then, what happens? You get depressed. And when you are depressed, you have dis-ease. You understand the word? Dis-ease. You're not at ease anymore. So, we should be dependent. I've been actually speaking to people about this, or writing to people about this on the internet the last few days, about taking shelter of Krishna's holy names. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, other than the name, that's our only friend in this world. And of course, we have pure devotees and other friends, but absolute refuge is with the pure devotees and Krishna's name. So we shouldn't depend on anyone else. We should be autonomous in the sense of developing strategies to meet our needs. When we have a relationship and we depend too much on anyone else, they experience that as a demand. And it makes them miserable too. So Prabhupada says, over-dependence on another's mercy and artificial standards of living, that's another one, sap the very vitality of human energy. This is a very important quote. If you want to look it up, it's from the Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, text 10. And that's, for me, it's something that I like to think about, this particular quote, on a daily basis. Regular habits, simple food, give up overeating, oversense gratification, and overdependence on anyone else. And don't accept any more than necessary artificial standards of living. Okay. Another quote from Prabhupada. This is more about the body. Therefore, the body's health is dependent on the healthy actions of the intestines and the arteries. Intestines mean digestive system. Arteries mean circulatory system. That's from the second canto of Bhagavatam, 10th chapter, text 29. And finally, here's a conversation that Srila Prabhupada had in Los Angeles in 1972. So fruits and vegetables you can properly cut, even raw, not to speak of cooked. Now listen to this. Prabhupada's talking about eating raw food. Raw vegetables and raw fruits you can cut with these teeth. That means what's in your mouth, if you have your natural teeth, and smash it and you swallow. It will be nicely digested. Interesting, isn't it? You get all food value. So, confirmed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Indra. So if you chew your food, that's another thing we'll be talking about. You chew your food thoroughly. But Prabhupada did even advocate, or not so much advocate, but he allowed the devotees to follow a raw diet if they wanted to follow a raw diet. He said, this is preferable, but who will do it? Okay? So these are some of Prabhupada's quotes. We're going to get on to talking about the body. Actually, first I wanted to mention something philosophical. It has nothing to do with the seminar. It's been on my mind. It's defining who Prabhupada is. Now, we talk about Prabhupada being the founder, Acharya of ISKCON. But we also have to understand that Srila Prabhupada is the representative of the disciplic succession. I was having an exchange of emails with someone this morning, that's why this is coming up, about the whole Ritvik philosophy. Everyone's heard about Ritviks before? They're a type of frogs. They go, anyway. But there are people who believe that Prabhupada intended that he would be the only initiating guru for the next 10,000 years or something like that. So my response is, because they have some quotes from Prabhupada they take out of context. So my response is that not only shouldn't you take quotes out of context, but you shouldn't take quotes out of context of Srila Prabhupada's total teachings. And you shouldn't take Prabhupada out of context as his position as a member or representative of the disciplic succession. And every representative of the disciplic succession, in order to be a representative, has to present the Siddhanta. You can't change the Siddhanta. You just can't change it. I'm sorry. You can change details. Details means, 16 rounds, 64 rounds. The dress of a sannyasi, like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he changed the dress of Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasis. Previously, the Gaudiya Vaishnava renunciates were Babaji's with white, like gumshas, longer gumshas, like Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, etc. But then he instituted a saffron dress, which he got from the Sri Sampradaya, Ramanuja Sampradaya. So these are details. But as far as the guru system, that is not a detail, that's Siddhanta. So the guru, a bona fide guru, does never change his Siddhanta. Prabhupada said that in many cases. So Prabhupada wouldn't change the system of initiation. And another point is that Prabhupada is giving us, of course, he's the ultimate source of Divya Jnana, which means transcendental knowledge. But also we can give Divya Jnana, right? If we repeat Prabhupada's instructions. Easy. Because if I felt that I couldn't give Divya Jnana in my position as sannyasi, I would just go to Govardhan and say, bye-bye, cruel world. You understand? So we can all give Divya Jnana. We can all be Siksha Gurus or Diksha Gurus. And Prabhupada said there's no difference between Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru as far as qualification is concerned. I mean, there may be institutional qualification, but that's not what Prabhupada was talking about. All right. just wanted to get that off my chest since it's something I was thinking about all morning. So it's good to speak about something you're thinking about spiritual before we get on to the what's called manatika dharma. That means the temporary stuff that we have to deal with in this world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he talks about different types of dharmas. He talks about nitya dharma. That means eternal principles. Jivara swarupa hoy, isn't it? My eternal swarup is I'm serving the Krishna. Krishna does. And then there's manatika dharma, which means temporary things you may have to deal with in this world. And then there's anicca dharma, which means going against the principles of religiosity. So we don't want to do anicca dharma. In other words, I'm not advocating you eat meat, fish, or eggs to be healthy. In fact, that will go against your health. But we want to sometimes talk about nimittika dharma, that means things that are temporary in this world that facilitate our nitya dharma. Am I going at the right speed? Perfect. So let's start talking from the point where we left off yesterday. Yesterday we were talking about all those things to avoid. I wanted to get that out of the way so we can get to the positive things. Like we just talked about too much salt, right? That's one of the things. Or too much milk products, too much fried foods, or fried foods in general. So these are positive ways that we can implement or increase our health. One of the two main things that I find devotees are lacking in is not in spiritual life. Two main things are called vitamin D and vitamin B12. It's interesting. So vitamin D is the sunshine vitamin. I mean, you've all heard that song, Let the Sun Shine In. Or Here Comes the Sun, right? Here comes the sun. Maybe you can play that for us. But anyway, that was written about Krishna, in fact. And Krishna is the sun. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoya Andhakar. That means Krishna is the sun, and then Maya is the absence of the sun, darkness. So, vitamin D, the sunshine vitamin, is not actually a vitamin. Did everyone know that? It's a hormone. Strictly speaking, it's not a vitamin. But the sun is what? What part? How does it represent Krishna?
Eye.
It's the eye of Krishna in this world. It's the manifestation of the Brahma Jyoti. It's the energy that comes into the universe without which everything would be dark and cold, of course, and all movements in this universe would stop. So the sun is the source of energy. In fact, there's many persons who are sun gazers, I'm not teaching that or recommending it, who can live just by looking at the sun. And this is scientifically been studied. And they don't eat or don't drink. They just absorb their energy from the sun. So we can absorb energy from the sun not by doing this. Not by going to the beach and sitting out for 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 hours there to make ourselves this color. But by getting an hour or two of good sun, every day. And if we don't have enough of this vitamin D, which comes, as Pallad Nanda Maharaj told us yesterday, from the sun shining on the oil of our skin, and then it's absorbed through the skin. That's why you don't want to, if you're taking a sun bath, wash yourself with soap right away. If you don't get enough sun, then there's so many diseases that occur as a result. Like what we're presenting here, you can read some of this. I know there's a lot of words in this slideshow, but you can pretty much prevent cardiovascular disease, cancer, and respiratory disease. And if you're deficient in this vitamin D, not getting enough sunshine, there's a 42% greater risk of cancer, 39% more risk of cardiovascular disease, and listen to this, 2.5 times, that's 250% greater risk from respiratory disease. And that's quite dramatic. And we're not going to read all these things, or actually I can mention some of them, go through the analysis of what each one means, because you may not be aware. But this is like a whole menu of different diseases that come about because you're not getting enough vitamin D. I was asked the question right before class, can cancer be considered an autoimmune disease? An autoimmune disease is a disease that comes because your immune system is malfunctioning. Either it is producing too many antibodies that are attacking parts of your body, or it is producing too few antibodies. This is called an autoimmune disease. But autoimmune generally means your immune system is attacking itself. That's AIDS, actually, but it's had a broader definition recently. So let's take a disease, for example, where your body is attacking itself. One of those diseases is multiple sclerosis. Right now I'm dealing with one of our devotees, a very nice devotee, and you know her, Nandini, it's Tulsi. And she was doing Sankirtan for many, many years, and eating all sorts of stuff, not careful of her diet, and we didn't know too much at that time. And now she has multiple sclerosis, and she can't do anything. She's confined all the time, has to rest like 16 hours a day, can hardly move. I mean, sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down. But the body's immune system is attacking the nervous system, what's called the myelin sheaths on top of the nervous system. These are the sheaths that cover the nerves. And sometimes they attack the brain, the nerves in the brain, and sometimes the nerves in the spinal cord. And one of the things that she experiences is that when it's really hot out, she starts shivering because she feels cold. Things have become reversed. Pretty heavy, isn't it? And when it's really cold, she starts sweating. So this is one of the diseases that occurs. Another one is Parkinson's disease, which is a lack of dopamine, which is one of the neurotransmitters. And we have several devotees who have that disease. One of them is my dear godbrother, Padyavali. Some of you may know her. She's from Canada. And she's completely debilitated, right? You know her. Very nice devotee. She served the deities, Sankirtan, for so many years, and now she's completely debilitated. These are the things that actually push me to talk about health. Now, some of you may be thinking, what is sannyasi talking about health? But it's an emotional, spiritual response to seeing these different devotees. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. You understand? That's my motivation. I have to do this. If I see someone in trouble, dying, then I want to help them, and I want to help other people avoid the same thing. Just like if you see a little boy wants to cross the street, you want to hold his hand so he doesn't get run over by a car. So we don't need to go over all these diseases, but an interesting one is there on the board there. It's called schizophrenia, which is a mental problem. And it's very interesting. I was reading a report this morning because one of the things I do is I continue my research on different diseases, is that schizophrenia and many other mental diseases are caused by malfunctions of the immune system, which attack parts of the brain. And when parts of the brain don't function right, you can either get paralysis or like we're talking about, a lack of neurotransmitters, such as the case of Parkinson's disease, or eating away at the nervous system, or you can get mental problems. So this has actually been analyzed, that when people have schizophrenia, there's a predominance of a certain type of immune system cell in the brain. These are some of the latest findings. So anyway, chronic pain, depression, you name it. I mean, practically any disease you can name, almost any disease other than a broken leg or a broken heart, that's not going to cure. You know, vitamin D is not going to cure you ladies of a broken heart. So practically any disease you name can be attributed to some extent or the other to to a vitamin D deficiency. And so before we talk about seaweed, which is very attractive, yes, let's take questions.
I have actually
a
question in one.
Okay, give the microphone.
I have two questions in one. First is that you just skipped a little bit this sun gazing because people probably think it's sun.
Yeah.
And my second question is connected with that. When you find back to the last week, you stated that it is simple or bad karma to look in the sun when it's settled down or rising up.
Yes.
So do you know why this and why this quotation?
I don't know why that quotation is there from Sanatana Goswami. I don't advocate sun gazing at all. I'm just saying that certain. Why don't I advocate it? Because if people don't do it properly, you're looking at the sun, the eye is a lens, and if any of you played with magnifying glasses when you were young, you know, which I did, you know, I was always into technology. I would take a magnifying glass and burn leaves or paper. So if you don't know how to do it, which I don't, it's not one of my areas of expertise, nor do I want to find out about it, because I have to spend my time learning about Krishna, then you can burn your retina. And if you burn your retina, there's all sorts of problems. We'll talk about eye disease a little later, but other things that can occur as a result of that would be macular degeneration and cataracts if you look at the sun. So please don't try to do it unless you take initiation in the sun gazing sampradaya coming from Surya, and you're especially empowered by Suryadev. And please don't try it. Don't try it. Okay? And also there's breatharians. You know what a breatharian is? They can live just by breathing. So you can try that. You have my permission to try that. And when you lose 40 or 50 kilos, we'll talk to you after that. Because then you'll be healthy. Good way to lose weight. Okay, so anyway, let's just finish up with vitamin D. I'm not going to try to rush everything today, because if we don't get finished with the whole slideshow, that's fine. At least I presented some things thoroughly. So with vitamin D, if you can't get sun, let's say you are in Scandinavia in the winter, when the sun comes up at 11 o'clock in the morning and disappears at 12:30 in the afternoon, and it doesn't never gets higher than this much above the horizon, it's really depressing. That's why so many people commit suicide in Scandinavia during the winter. Very high rates of suicide. So if you're there, what should you do? Fly to Spain. You're all invited to come to Fiji, which I'm the GBC of, and we need some pujaris, and it's always sunshiny there, okay? That's the solution for your vitamin D deficiency. But seriously, what you can do is you can get vitamin C, let's say liquid vitamin C, which comes from sheep's wool, lanolin, which is exposed to the sun. Or you can take, as we mentioned yesterday, mushrooms. You're allowed to eat mushrooms. Don't quote me on that. What? Brother said that. Yeah, but there are certain people who may crucify me if they hear I said that. So you're allowed to, so take your nice mushrooms, put them out in the sun for 12 hours, and then they have vitamin D in them. They produce vitamin D. The whole mushrooms, they produce vitamin D. Don't go on the beach and toast yourself. Go out for an hour. Yeah, I was just in Croatia, and people are lying on the beach 8 hours. Just like this. I mean, I used to do that when I was a kid, too.
And you got skin cancer.
Yeah, they're going to get skin cancer. Prepare. I mean, plus it's a waste of time. What are you lying down on the beach trying to become darker? I mean, it's crazy. Whatever color skin Krishna gave you, just be satisfied. But nobody's ever satisfied with anything they have. Here we want to turn our skin darker.
Well, Michael Jackson to become white.
Yeah, and Michael Jackson, but I was going to quote from India, the most popular type of pharmaceutical in India is skin whitener. All over the television they're advertising skin. So they want to become whiter, we want to become darker. You're not satisfied with what you are, be satisfied. Krishna gave you no hair, be satisfied. Like, I'm not going to go for a hair transplant. When I was young, in my particular community, all the girls would disappear at 12 years of age and come back with small noses. They had big noses, this particular community. They come back with little cute little noses. Of course, they'd have band-aids over their nose and they'd come back. Who cares? You're not that body. So, you know, it's... Yeah. Okay. Good question. So, Shamasaki, I'm going to repeat the question. Shamasaki asked, she had a question being out in the sun for an hour or two a day. Can we just walk? Yes, you can walk and get the sunshine, but what's suggested is you roll your sleeves up and you try to get as much skin exposed as possible. It's not just being out in the sun, you cover your face with sunblocker and you cover your arms all the way up here and you're going to get that. You have to get sun on the skin, particularly the arms, I suggest. Okay? Any other questions? Yeah.
You said that we should put mushrooms outside to feed somebody. Should put mushrooms outside to take vitamin D inside? Is there any particular mushroom?
The best type is the shiitake mushroom. Shiitake mushroom, although... Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. The question was, when I said we can put mushrooms out in the sun, which is kind of funny, because mushrooms grow in the dark. But anyway, if we put mushrooms out in the sun, is there a better type or a good type of mushroom to do it with? And my answer was, the shiitake mushroom is the best one. However, there's many mushrooms that can produce it. If you go on the internet, you'll see a whole chart of different mushrooms and the amount that they will produce in one day of sunshine. And they're, it's practically speaking, it's one of the best methods for producing vitamin D. But don't use a sun lamp on your mushrooms. They may get cancer. No, I'm just joking. The sun lamp doesn't work. They need full spectrum light from the sun. If any of you have tasted vegetables grown under, or fruit grown under artificial light, what do they taste like?
Plastic
or sponge. Like tomatoes, or you say tomatoes, however you say. Tomatoes grown in the greenhouses, which are called glass houses, have no taste, or hydroponics. You know what hydroponics are? So, get food that's grown under the sun. And the interesting thing is, you may say not much grows in the winter. You can store things. I was just at a very nice devotee's house, Madan Manohar. He lives in Slovenia, right on the border with Croatia. And he has food that's been stored for over a year, still fresh. He has like a root cellar. And he gave me some apples. I think I had one of the apples at your house. And it was tasty after a whole year. So there's certain things that you can store, and there's ways of storing. I know in the northern climates, they have combinations of carrots and cabbage and everything like that. Does everyone know what that's called? Where they let it ferment. Coleslaw, and there's another name for that, sauerkraut. It means a sour German. Anyway, that's a play on words. Kraut means German. So, So that provides a lot of vitamin C. So there's ways you can live by eating things that are grown locally as far as possible. Now you can supplement with other things. So vitamin D is very important. If you have to get a blood test, you should get a blood test, have the doctor test for vitamin D. In most cases, they will not do it unless you ask them. Vitamin D and vitamin B12. Very essential. Any other questions? Yeah. Yeah.
And I expose them in the summer, the mushrooms, and I freeze them in
the winter. Yes. So Nandini's question was, she's living very far north in the North Pole. she's from the country of Sweden. And she asked whether she can pick mushrooms or get mushrooms in the summer or when it's light and expose them and freeze them. Yes. The vitamin D is preserved. Vitamin D is not destroyed with time, as long as you keep it in the freezer or something like that. It's a very, very, very good way. Any other questions about vitamin D? Yes.
Yes, I have a question about the bad influence of sun and ultraviolet rays.
Yeah, she had a question about the sun and ultraviolet rays and holes in the ozone. Is that what your question? And so, because I suggested 1 or 2 hours in the sun, be aware, thank you for your question, be aware of where you're taking your sun. For example, one of the places I travel to is New Zealand, which has the biggest hole in the ozone, is right over New Zealand in the southern hemisphere. So the sun there is so intense that you must wear sunglasses all the time if you're going out. And maybe 15 minutes is equivalent to an hour sun here. So be aware of the intensity of the sun rays. Important question. Yes? Adnuban.
I have to meet the problem.
With?
I'm sure in lots of countries, but here there is a kind of mushroom who are white and underneath is brown.
Please,
it is always on the sunny places. It is called field champignon. So I'm wondering if, because they are all the time on the sun. They are not on the dark places. So are there any contact with vitamin D?
I'm not an expert in mushrooms. So what you'll have to do is, you know, ask the scientists or look that up by the scientific name on the internet, because there's certain type of mushrooms that will make you see Krishna sooner than you want to see Krishna. I mean, you'll see lights, you'll feel real good about yourself. But I can't tell the difference between one mushroom and another. I don't have that particular ability. Yes.
Vremena koje je potrebno da bi imali dovoljno vitamina D, ovaj izvor od 2 sata dnevno, ja sam čuo neke informacije da znanstvena istraživanja da je dovoljno 15 minuta dnevno i to vrlo malo, samo ruke ili glava. Sam mi zanima izvor informacije od Makarađa.
Well, he can translate, he has a microphone, yeah.
You said that he heard from some source that it is enough to be on the sun for 15 minutes, not only hands, legs, that's it, not 1 or 2 hours.
It depends.
Yeah. It
depends on the time of the year, how dark your body is, what time of the day it is, whether there's clouds in the sky, whether there is smog in the sky. There's a number of different factors, but a half hour to an hour of sun is not going to bother any of you with the light skin. I can do 3 hours. I have a little darker skin than most of you. See? Compare the skin. See? I'm from the Middle East. You're from Sweden. That's why when people who have darker skin move to the north, they get more diseases like cancer, heart disease, high blood pressure. You find it very common in America where the people from Africa, the Afro-Americans, have moved to cities like New York, Boston, or even further north. There's a higher incidence of these types of diseases. So just vary it depending. Have your blood tested and see. It's not a problem. See how high it is. I suggest like at least 75 micromoles of vitamin D per deciliter. Anyway, the doctor will tell you about that. What is the authorized measure? Any other questions about vitamin D? Yes. Well, Prabhupada suggested the morning time. So I go with Prabhupada's suggestion. Prabhupada would take his massage during the late morning outside. And Prabhupada would just have his gumshan. I mentioned this the other day that, you know, sometimes I spied on Prabhupada, which he wasn't happy with, while he was taking his massage. And it was just the gumshan. And the gumshan was actually basically rolled up, like here. It's very, very short. And Prabhupada was taking it with oil. Prabhupada also said that the babies, someone can actually fill in the details so that I remember all of them, should be put in the sun every day. The babies, that means not you, but not bigger babies, smaller babies, should be put in, rubbed with oil every day and put in the sun. That will make them very strong. So that's what Prabhupada said. So Prabhupada did give a lot of health advice in that regard. So that means that Prabhupada was aware of vitamin D. Prabhupada himself was into pharmacy. He was a pharmacologist. He and Prabhupada invented many different pharmacological medicines when he was young. You know, dazed, liniment, and other things like that. So Prabhupada, if we follow Prabhupada's advice and example, we can see how it would be helping. I know you all don't have time to take a massage at 11 o'clock in the morning. Nor do you have someone traveling with you to give you a massage. So any other questions about vitamin D?
There's just to take this mic.
Here's our health acharya. Okay. Kalai Gandhimaraj is in charge of the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Committee on the GEC.
Not very wealthy.
Not very wealthy, though.
Children have to take vitamin D because this builds up their bones. That is the reason why they have to take vitamin D. If they do not, they get a specific kind of disease. I cannot remember, but it's a bone disease.
They can get rickets and also scoliosis. That's another disease.
Nas bebe dobijaju u kapi na mešavinu D vitamina i A vitamina, pošto A vitamin on na neki način vezuje taj D vitamin u organizmu. I da li je taj D vitamin u redu da se uzima koji dobijem u farmakarstvu? Još samo jedno kratko pitanje, smatram da je pomerao lanolin neki. Mene zanima šta je to, gde to može da se nabavi, kako se to nabavi i kako se to konzumira u redu C vitamina.
Like
in our country, actually, the Balkans, babies take vitamin D in the form of liquid together with vitamin A, because it is recommended, it is said actually, that vitamin A helps with the connection of vitamin D or synthesis in the body. So, should we continue taking this vitamin D that is produced artificially? And my second question is that you mentioned lanolin. What is it? Where can we get it? How should we consume it?
No, you don't consume lanolin. It's It's actually the oil from sheep's wool. And it, you don't have to get the lanolin, although you can get it, I think, some soaps and things like that. But the vitamin D that's produced, let's say artificially, is done with sun exposure to lanolin. And then you get the vitamin D drops. So follow your doctor's advice. If your doctor is advising you to take supplemental vitamin D because he or she feels that you're deficient in it, then follow that advice. I'm not going against doctor's advice. And vitamin A, if the doctor is prescribing that, then do that too. But you can get both things. As Prabhupada said, we told the story about how Prabhupada said take the young kids and put them out in the sun every day, rub them with oil. Interesting, isn't it? And you can get both those things from natural sources. Vitamin A you can get from carrots. You can get from what you call batas or sweet potatoes. There's many sources of vitamin A. We'll go over that later on if we get to that point in the seminar. And if you get enough sun, not only should you get sun, but you should get exercise. As we mentioned yesterday, exercise is essential to maintaining your health. You know, the stretching exercises like in yoga, the endurance that you can get from some types of yoga or from other types of aerobic exercise, and the strength. Yesterday, I realized that I don't do what I preach with the strength exercise. I walk a lot, walk up mountains, but yesterday I thought I'm very good with exercise, so I challenged one devotee for arm wrestling. And I won't mention who it was. And I was thinking, you know, I'm good, I exercise, I'm in great health. It was like he was wrestling with a wet noodle down in my arm. So then I realized I have to do something for upper body strength. There's just no strength there. So upper body strength, I'm neglecting it. I have to practice what I preach. Upper body strength, and also Palamana Maharaj has given me some exercise for straightening my back and neck because I use a computer too much. And there's this computer posture you get after a while. Isn't it? And so Maharaj has so kindly given me some yoga, which I won't do for you here. So I have to improve myself in so far as that's concerned. So when you go outside, just don't sit in the sun. Or you can do yoga in the sun. But, you know, exercise. Get some exercise at the same time. Walk up a mountain. Not this much of a mountain. But, you know, like this much. A little steep, get your heart going. Chant Hare Krishna at the same time. There's no harm in chanting. So you can accomplish many things at the same time. You could chant Hare Krishna. You can get your exercise. You can get your sun. Or if you finish your rounds, and you can do any damn thing. No, you finish your rounds. That's the problem, sir. If you finish your rounds, take your little MP3 player and listen to some nice Krishna Katha. I spend a lot of time every day listening to Krishna Katha. The devotees who were taking care of me, anyway, the devotees who were seeing to my needs, know that when I sit down and eat prasadam, that I listen to Krishna Katha. Right now I'm listening to the Ramayana. Today I heard how Hanuman found Sita Devi in the Ashoka Grove. I was relieved, because I didn't know what was going to happen. So you can combine many things at the same time. You don't have to be in Maya while you're exercising. Right? Krishna Katha can always be there. Even if you're doing yoga, you're standing on your head. I have one of my good friends hangs from the ceiling sometimes. Or from the door. Not Maharaj. But I have one of my godbrothers. One time I was staying with him in Mayapur, and I opened the door a little too quickly. He was on the door. I think you know what I'm talking about. He says, "Oh, excuse me, Maharaj. I thought the door was a little bit too heavy." But he was listening to Krishna Katha at the same time. Any other questions before we go on to the next item? So we're taking it real slow today, just trying to We have to finish now?
No.
Actually, we got 2 more minutes. Yes, I don't know.
I don't know. It's connected with your quote from Srila Prabhupada regarding eating fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
What is it? You mentioning fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
But if someone like working hard and whatever, like a good distribution or some kind of work, I mean, the essence are really to take grains, and usually the grains needs to be like brown rice, really need to be cooked
yeah.
Some other types of grains. And according to Ayurveda, when they're cooked in water, they're actually not considered cooked food. Cooked are in.
That's right.
Yeah. So connection, the question is connected with that. Because also health is coming from good digestive fire, according to Ayurveda.
Right.
And for many already diseased, it's difficult to, digest raw food. What to speak when they take like some amount of grains?
Right.
So the question is, what is like the right?
Well, then for your particular or someone's particular constitution,
yes.
You may have to cook it, but. Like cooked food in the Vedic context means fried. You know, really that's, like Prabhupada said, that cooked food means fried. But you may have to boil it or add some agni to it or fire to it in a different way. I don't suggest fried food. But I do suggest, I mean, I'm not taking a raw food diet. I'm boiling some things. I'm taking quinoa at night and other things. And I need that heat to keep myself going. Because I've adjusted my diet in accordance with my nature, according to the Ayurvedic paradigms. So you adjust like that.
But connected with that, like yesterday for lunch was vegetable raw salad, and in the same time it was drink containing milk, actually. You know, sweet milk.
Yeah.
I mean.
No, don't ask me to comment on the diet.
So I'm wondering how this can be like this.
Yeah, the right to the GBC. So you should write a letter to our health and wealthy minister.
I'll forward it to the local GBC.
Oh my God, not today. No, just... Anyway, I mean, I'm trying to teach a little bit about this so that maybe the cooks can change to a certain degree. I mean, certain festival days, obviously, it's very nice. And also, as far as the deity worship, we want to offer the deities food cooked in ghee. Not in oil. Prabhupada said oil is for the outside, ghee is for the inside. In the demigod planets, they don't use canola oil or sunflower oil or any of that. They use ghee when they're cooking. The ghee, the taste of ghee is so delicious. I'm not trying to get you all to eat cooked ghee. That we can attract the meat eaters to come to the Krishna consciousness movement. That was Prabhupada's strategy. So I remember eating, as I mentioned, one of our seminars, the first pakora I ever ate, cauliflower pakora. It just exploded with taste in my mouth. Remember that? And I said, I have to join this movement now. But if I'm still on the Anamoya platform after 45 years in the Hare Krishna movement, I've got some trouble. Then I have to talk to the sannyas minister about that. Right? He's actually the minister of all of our different departments in ISKCON. You want to take sannyas? You want to join the GBC? What else? You want to be healthy?
Guru, sir.
You want to be a guru? Want to take initiation? Want to shave your head? Anything like that. No one comes to the Father. But I'm just joking. So I think we have to end. It was good to spend the whole time on vitamin D since it's so important today. Tomorrow we'll go on to some other items, but we're going to take our time and cover everything in depth. We still have another, say, 2 or 3 days. And tomorrow is also Rath Yatra Day. We're still going to have seminars tomorrow, right?
Yes, good to see you.
in the evening. So Ralph Yatra and Novi Zad, you're all invited to come. I'm looking forward to it. It's actually the official Ralph Yatra Day 2 on the Vaishnav calendar, which is amazing. It's the same day, so it will be a special Ralph Yatra and Novi Zad. So thank you very much. All of our listeners, Vangre, Shilabhava, Shilabhava, Shilabhava.